Every week I say, Lord, what do you want to say to your people? And I came to Isaiah 43, and like I just heard it very clearly, and I'm going to share from Isaiah 43 this morning, which is really about the Lord's salvation and redemption and provision and promises and all that stuff we've been talking about. And so I wrote 4 points, okay? I'm going to put them up right now. They're very simple, because I want this to be a simple sermon. I want it to be a memorable sermon that you guys can hang on to every day this year, because you don't know what's coming. I do believe, friends, brothers and sisters in Christ, this will not be an easy year, okay? I honestly believe for the Church of Jesus Christ, this will be a tough year. I got an email from the leader of our fellowship, which we're under, which is called Ministers Network Canada, hundreds of pastors and leaders and multiple churches even around the world. And he said in there that last year was really hard for a lot of people. A lot of people left the ministry, a lot of churches closed down. They have not really recovered from COVID. Okay, praise God, we did not stop during COVID. Okay, we kept going. We did not offer online, only for a short bit while the government really locked us down. But I think if a church closed, the people have gotten really comfortable going to church on the computer in the pajamas, right? And so a lot of have online ministry, which just personally, I don't think that's church. Okay, you can't have fellowship, intimate fellowship. You can't serve one another and all the one another's of scripture online. You can't do that. So we really believe in person-to-person meeting. You know, as the day is approaching, we're commanded to not stop meeting together. And so the main reason for that is we want to encourage each other and stir each other on to good works. Amen? And so I want to stir us to continue to press on. 2024 could be a brutal year. We don't know what's happening, but here's the thing. God is in control, and we know him. He's our God, okay? So memorize these 4 points. Number one, know your God. There's only one way to know him, really. Read the Word, okay? Be in the Word of God. It's his self-disclosure to humanity, okay? The Word of God is his revelation. Know your gods. You are God's. You belong to God. He purchased you with the precious blood of his Son, okay? And number three, know that your God is with you. No matter what you're going through, he's with you. And know that your God is able to do incredibly more than you could ever ask or imagine. He's the God of the impossible, okay? No matter what. I know some of you have been pressing on and pressing through and hanging on and believing. Keep believing, because one day your God will come through. Amen? That's who he is. He always comes through, and he always accomplishes his word. And so that's the basis for Isaiah 43. Let's turn there. Let me just pray first. Lord, your word is powerful. It's life. It's our daily bread. It's what we live on. We thank you that we have Holy Spirit in us to be able to hear it and understand it and see what you're saying to us for such a time as this. And we ask, Lord God, Father God, Holy Spirit, Jesus, our Savior, we ask that you would come and embed the word, your word, in our hearts today, that it would be firmly rooted, that we would not be waved around by every wave of doctrine, that we wouldn't be tossed to and fro, but we would be anchored in your word, that it would take root today for 2024. We would hang on to the truths of your word. Father God, thank you for all that you've done in us and through us in Christ. Thank you for Christ. Thank you for Holy Spirit. Thank you for you being such an amazing Father. And we just thank you, Lord, that right now you're going to equip us and encourage us to press on, because you have amazing things planned for us this year, Lord. And we know that once the morning is over, there's great joy to experience. Yes. So come, Lord Jesus, speak to us by your Spirit and for your glory. Amen. Amen. Let me read to you Isaiah 43, verses 1 to... Nope, I'm going to start the whole psalm. I'm just going to do the whole, it reads like a psalm, but it's the whole chapter. I'm using the New American Standard translation because I believe the Hebrew is very close to this English translation. So, thus says the Lord, your creator, O Jacob, and he who formed you I mean, let's stop right there. Okay. He who formed you, your creator. You are not an accident. You have been fashioned by God. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. Okay. Your creator knows everything about you. You are a piece of putty on the wheel of God's masterpiece maker as it spins around, and he works on you, and he fashions Christ in you. He's continually, you are new creations in Christ, okay? That the moment you were born again by the Spirit of God, you are now a new creation. That's really when life starts, okay? Before you're dead in your sins. But now you're alive in Christ, and you're a new creation. God is working out Christ in you. He's fashioning him. He's still working on, he's still forming you. He's faithful to complete the work he started, amen?
Yes.
That's who he is. And he's, we need to hang on to that. I have this relationship with the creator of the universe. The God who made everything, who holds everything together, is my God. His son, according to scripture, is the one who made everything. For him and through him, all things hold together and consist. Okay, this fascinating truth that the God of the universe that everybody's trying to search for, they go through all these different tangents, he has come and revealed himself to us. Okay, as followers. For, do not fear, because your creator who formed you, he's redeemed you. Redemption, he's paid the price. He's got you out of jail. He's freed you from slavery to sin, slavery to the enemy. He's freed you. And you're called by name. He knows you. You are his. You are mine, he says. Do not fear, for I've redeemed you. I've called you by name. You are mine. You belong to him. Why do you belong to him? Because you've been bought with the precious blood of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Now, here's this amazing promise, okay? You need to know that God. Verse 3, I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I'm your Savior, your Redeemer, your Creator, the one who holds you together. I love this title, the Holy One of Israel. He's the holy, the high and lifted up one, the other. There is no other one like him, he'll say that. Okay? You cannot compare him to anything. There's no other God, period. But if, suppose there is another God, which there's not. Paul says there are no other gods. All other gods are idols. There's no other religion that leads to God. There's only one. There's only one way to be saved and to know this God. That's through Christ. God himself who came down. That's the message of Christmas. There's only one way. It's a fascinating truth. No matter what churches are preaching nowadays. You must read the Word of God, friends, because the truth of the Word comes and embeds in your heart, and you realize when you hear the truth, you can hear lie really clearly. Okay? And I want to encourage you, just meditate on this chapter. Just meditate on all the, like I take a highlighter, I circle them, and it's like creator, former, redeemer, caller, savior. It's like this majestic other person, God Almighty, is out there to be discovered. But he's revealed himself to us. Okay? And verse 4 is so precious. You are precious. You are precious in my sight. You are honored, and I love you. Hey, this is fascinating truth, friends. You just anchor yourself in these four verses of Scripture, no matter what comes your way. It's amazing because this section of Isaiah is really about the people of Israel being in Babylon, taken to captivity. Now they're under oppression and rulership of a wacko king. You know King Babylon, the king of Babylon, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. Remember those guys? Right? Nebuchadnezzar. He's the guy, the crazy lunatic who spent 7 years out eating grass to learn that God was God Almighty. Okay? That's the power of God. But ultimately, they loved God. They would not compromise. Okay? They were totally devoted to their God. When they were told to worship another God, they bowed down and worshiped their God. Okay? And that's the call this year. I really believe that's one of the main calls. Do I know my God? And am I going to worship him no matter what? Okay, when I'm in the enemy's hands, and there's a lot of enemies up, they're rising up left, right, and center out there in the world, friends. Okay, all you have to do is follow a little bit of news and go a little behind the scenes, and we have a devil in charge of the planet. He's the god of this age, okay? But he's under Jesus' feet, just to let you know. The whole world is under his sway right now, okay? There's a lot of stuff going on planet Earth. There's wars and rumors of wars and wars and wars and pandemics, and we're in the middle of one. They won't call it COVID, but they'll call it five other things that are happening. All the stuff that didn't happen during COVID is still happening. They just call it COVID. Now it's happening, okay? Flus and viruses and everything is out there. And if you read the news, they're overwhelmed in the hospitals. Line up 7-8 hours at a time, okay? Is any of you sick? James says, go to the church. Don't go to the hospital. Not preaching, that's another sermon, but just thought I'd get it out there so you hear it. We don't get a lot of phone calls. We're here Tuesdays and Fridays. We don't get a lot of people drop in for prayer. Okay? Trust me, God is able. God is able. Give him a chance. I digress. You are precious. You are honored. I love you. Watch this. I will give other men in your place and other peoples in exchange for you. God will stop at nothing to free you, to redeem you. He'll stop at nothing to set you free. He'll stop at nothing to bring what he wants to bring to you. Okay? Nothing gets in his way, even if he has to sacrifice others. He sacrificed his son in order to save you, in order to redeem you and give you life. He doesn't think twice. You're precious. You're a valued chosen. Listen, you're not an afterthought.
Okay?
You're not somebody who is kicked aside and left for dead. You're not abandoned. You're not forsaken. You have a heavenly Father who chose you. Chose you. Out of all the people on planet Earth, he chose you. Okay, you've been adopted into his family. This is phenomenal. I love that word adoption, because it's like he goes into this house and he sees this little child who's really been neglected by his parents, but put aside and forsaken, and he's, I want that one. That one, I'm going to use that one. I want that one to know me, and I want that one to love me, and I want to love him or her, and I want to shed my love and give him life and purpose and take him out of that terrible destiny of death and destruction that he's headed for, and put her in my presence and fill her with my glory and send her out to accomplish all that I have for her or him. Okay, that's our God. He chose you. He loves you that much. And he'll you know, exchange. This is crazy. I mean, it's tough. This is your God. You got to know there's two sides to God. There's his anger and his holiness and his righteousness and his justice, but there's his loving side. And sometimes he has to, you know, for instance, wherever you're at on this, let me just state it clearly. Israel is his chosen people. That's what the Bible says. Somebody attacked Israel. He's going to stand up and defend his people, okay? You're seeing God defend his people. And there are other nations coming against Israel, and there is God fighting the battle for them. Even though it looks horrible, it is horrible. The justice of God is scary, but the mercy of God for his chosen people, which we are, is incredible. And he will sacrifice the lives of others to keep you in his presence, in his life, and you fully alive. Are you with me?
Yeah.
That's what he's saying. We need to hang on to that. So let me keep reading. Okay, he loves you. He's God. He's with you. Do not fear, for I am with you. That's a word for now, for this year. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east, gather you from the west. I will say in the north, give them up to the south. Do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar, my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, and whom I have created, there it is again, for my glory, whom I have formed, even whom I have made. Okay, those people, I will stop at nothing to get them into my presence, to for them to be with me and walk with me and trust me and live life together with me. I will be their God and they will be my people. No matter what that costs, I will do it. That's what he's saying. Okay? So this is the revelation of God and who he is and how much he loves us and how much you are his and he is yours. And he says, this is really cool, verses 8 and 9. Bring out the people who are blind, even though they have eyes, and the deaf, even though they have ears. All the nations have gathered together in order that the peoples may be assembled. Who among them can declare this and proclaim to us the former things? Let them present their witnesses that they may be justified. He's taunting those people, those pagans who are involved in other religions. He's saying, can you testify to me? You don't know me. I don't know you. Why don't you come out here and tell me about me? But we don't have no relationship. You can't do that. But he says in verse 10, you are my witnesses. You, declares the Lord, you're my servant whom I have chosen in order that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Okay? This is self-disclosure. This is a revelation of God to us. Before me there was no God formed and there will be none after me. I am the Lord and there is no Savior besides me. That you should put that on your car. Only salvation in Christ, right? Yeah. We should declare that loudly. Because the world is going to hell without Jesus. And the church is afraid to witness for him. But we're witnesses. It says, you are my witnesses. Yeah. We need to start speaking about the mercies and glories of God in Christ. Okay, we need to really be bold this year. Because a lot of people are dying and being taken by the enemy and falling for all the stuff that's going on. It is I, verse 12, who have declared and saved and proclaimed, there's no strange God among you. So you are my witnesses, he says it a second time, declares the Lord. And I am God, and from eternity I am he, and there is none who can deliver out of my hand. I act, and who can reverse it? Okay, I'm God, there's no other. I do what I want to do. I saved you, I formed you, I chose you. You're mine, I love you, I put my seal on you. Okay, and I want you to tell everybody, to witness to the world, that I am the only God. Okay. Friends, this year, can we take up that challenge?
Right. Yeah.
I hope we can. So let's get into what God really wants to say here today. Thus says the Lord your Redeemer, verse 14, the Holy One of Israel, for your sake I have sent to Babylon. I will bring them all down as fugitives, even the Chaldeans near the ships into which they rejoice. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus says the Lord. Amazing titles of God. Here's what he's saying. I will deliver you from the Babylonians. He's painting a picture of the Babylonians getting their rightful penalty for what they've done to the people of Israel. Okay? So God is going to step in. He's going to do miraculous stuff. Here's what he says in verse 16. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way through the sea and a path through the mighty waters. What's he talking about there? He's reminding them, think about when I first got you.
Right, yeah.
Think about when I rescued you from Egypt and I got you out of that madman's hands and he was going to destroy you. He controlled you. You were slaves. You were people that were under oppression. You were struggling and you had no authority, no power. You were in bondage.
Yeah.
And I came and I freed you. And how did I do it? Miraculously, I parted the waters and you walked through. Okay, that's who I am. That's the kind of God. I am the deliverer. I'm the one who saves you. I'm the one who's going to do it. I am there. Even though right now, because of your sin, you're in Babylon, I'm coming for you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will not abandon you. I'm coming for you. Okay, it's incredible. Verse 17, who brings forth the chariot and the horse, the army and the mighty man, they will lie down together and not rise again. They have been quenched and extinguished like a wick. It doesn't matter how big the army is. Doesn't matter how big the enemy is, friends. He's going to take them out. Because God is God. And he's all powerful. Okay, and these are truths we need to hang our hat on this year. As it becomes difficult. This is a very famous verse people read every year. Verse 18. Do not call to mind the former things or ponder the things of the past. Behold, I will do something new. So I've been meditating on this. And I've wrote some stuff down. Of course, I have so many notes, I'm not going to find it. But here's some thoughts. He says, I don't want you to remember what I did in the past. Okay? I don't want you to remember. Even though I did miraculous things in the past, I don't want you to remember those. I want you to look at what the new thing I'm going. Friends, we can get stuck looking back. If only God would. If only he would change this. If only it would be like it used to be. If only he would do this again, then I might have this. And so what is that? Let me tell you what it is. Sin. It's presumption. It's the sin of presumption. I'm assuming God is going to do the same thing he did last time to get me out of this. And so what I'm looking for is the thing that he's done before. I'm looking for him to part the waters. Well, he did that trick already. He can do something that brings him more glory than parting waters this time around. Okay? Friends, and here's the thing. Do we have a God who can do the impossible?
Yes.
Is he willing and able to do the impossible?
Yes.
Does he love you enough to demonstrate his glory by doing the impossible?
Yes.
Will he repeat the same thing he did that he did last time?
No.
Okay. So don't look for it. He's going to do something new. Behold, I will do something new. Jesus said in Luke 9:62, whoever looks back, scary stuff. Let's just go there because I want you to see exactly what he's saying. Luke 9:62, the very last verse of this chapter, I believe. People are making excuses why they won't follow him. They went to a village, verse 57, as they were going along the road, and someone said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. Jesus said to him, foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. See, you want to follow me, but are you willing to give up a bed? Are you willing to give up comfort? He said to another, follow me. But he said, permit me first to go and bury my father. Oh, well, Jesus, I'll go wherever you want me to, but first let me look after. Now, scholars say the father wasn't even dead yet. But what he wanted, he was making sure that he was in the will, and if he went and followed Jesus, he would get what the Father owes him after he dies. So he was securing his future. Okay? Jesus is great. I love his answer. Let the dead bury their dead. But as for you, go and proclaim everywhere the kingdom of God. Don't worry about the dead. In one other passage, says, God's not a God of the dead. He's a God of the living. Don't worry about the dead. Some of us, we fall apart if someone dies. Listen, death is hard. It's a tragedy. It brings great mourning and disaster in our lives for a moment. It's a momentary affliction. It's a momentary mourning. And we're not minimizing death of a loved one, but as Christine said, you know, there is great joy knowing we're, first of all, that person is freed from this earth and all of its trappings and decays and everything. But ultimately, I got a whole life to live. I can't keep going back and remembering who's back there and, you know, get involved in all the mourning people. No, I want to go forward. So he's saying that. And then he says it very clearly. I will follow you wherever. Lord, first permit me to say goodbye to those at home. Well, you know, they're going to miss me. I better say something. I just can't leave. Jesus says, no one after putting his hand to the plow. Okay, once you're engaged, once you've decided, yeah, this is it, Jesus, I'm following you, you can't look back. Oh, my family's back there. What does he say? No one who looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. Wow, that's a powerful line. That's a word. He says, do not call to mind the former things or ponder the things of the past. What happened to Lot's wife when she looked back? Salt. Not in a good way. She is the salt of the earth. Behold, I will do something new. Now it will spring forth. Will you not be aware of it? Here's what he's going to do. I will even make a roadway in the wilderness, rivers in the desert. And in case you didn't get that, he says it again in the next verse. I've given waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Now, friends, there may be desert times this year. Okay? There probably will be desert times. Maybe you're in a desert time. Someone you know is in a desert time. What is a desert time? It's dry. It's hard. There's not a whole abundant supply of food. There's not a lot of joy and peace in the Holy Spirit, is there? It's a tough time. Sickness, death of family members, loss of job, finding out some bad news. These are desert experiences. And they happen all the time. But this year they might just happen a little more, deeper, and there'll be more of a burden and cause more weariness. But God says, listen, I've been there, done that. I took a people out of Egypt and I took them through the wilderness into the desert. Okay, what did they do? They grumbled and complained and whined, and we want this and we want that, and we're tired of bread and we want meat. And you want meat, I'll send you so much quail, you'll get sick of quail. You want bread, I'll send you so much bread, you just get sick of it. Because he's teaching them that in the desert, it's not really the physical you're after. It's after, you're after me. What you really need to be satisfied and fulfilled is me. Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness will be satisfied. Okay? And if you were going to the desert this year, which I presume we are, I think it's a safe bet. No matter how it comes, there will be a desert time. Are we going to grumble and complain? Or are we going to press in to know this incredible God who loves us and has promised to get us through? He says, you remember when he took the Israelites in the desert, they wanted water, what did he do? Friends, I don't know if you know your Bible, but in Exodus 17, that's the story where they're crying for water. Have you taken us out here to die, God? We're thirsty. So what does he do? He tells Moses to take his staff and strike the rock. What happens? Water comes out. Do you know what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10:4? That rock followed them all the way through their 40 years in the desert, and that rock was Christ. The source of living water, friends. Jesus Christ is the source of living water, and he followed the Israelites all the way through, and they were nourished. He's the bread of heaven. He said that in John 6, you know, as God provided manna, I am the manna that you need to live, fully live. I'm the water. If you believe in me and love me, then out of you will flow streams of living water, because I'm going to give you life. I'm going to give you the Spirit of God, which is me dwelling in you. And he's looking for intimacy. God is looking for intimacy this year. And how do you discover intimacy with God? Through the hard times. Through the difficult times. I will make, this is a promise, something new. I'm not going to open the sea so you can. I'm going to put a road in the wilderness. Okay? You're going to see it and you're going to travel on it. And there's going to be a river in the desert. I'm going beyond the rock. I'm going to do a full river.
Yeah.
Okay? Are you with me? This is God doing a new thing. You don't see too many rivers in the desert. The rivers is not just to strike the rock and you get a drink out of a rock. River is huge. You can swim. You can get refreshed. You can get energized in a river. This is big time. And he says it twice. Rivers in the desert, waters in the wilderness. I'm going to give you so much abundance that you will have no absolute doubt that it is me doing it. Because here's what he says at the end. The people whom I form for myself will declare my praise. I want to give drink to my chosen people. I want to supply their need, but I wanted them to do it, to see it and experience it so that I get the glory. Okay? Not for you, for him. Why? Because he's looking for witnesses who will go out in the world and say, you got to meet my God. This is my God. My God is the one who takes me through the trials. Okay? You know, lots of people are praying to their gods. You hear different religions, and they're praying, and they're offering up incense, and they're doing all kinds of things to try to get their God to deliver them. Nothing's happening. Okay? We have stories like that in the Bible with Elijah, right? And the false prophets. And they're trying, and they're beating themselves, and nothing's happening. There's only one God. And we know him. He's chosen us. And he's our Father. And he loves his children. And he's going to be there. 1 Peter 2:9 says, just go to 1 Peter 2:9 because I believe it's a scripture for Isaiah 43:21. This is why you are saved, friends. This is why God chose you. It doesn't get much clearer than this. You are a chosen race, 1 Peter 2:9, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. It's very similar language as Isaiah 43, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. That's why we exist. Okay, Isaiah 43 declares very clearly, we are to be witnesses to the glory and majesty and power and deliverance and provision and redemption of God in Christ. You know, he says, my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches in Christ. Okay, God is the one who we look to. And the reason that suffering and difficulties come is that we might know him more. Okay, so I want you to say to yourself, my God loves me. My God is my Father, and he loves me. He gave his very best for me in giving me his Son. I'm his, and he's with me. He'll never leave me. He'll never forsake me. He's always with me, no matter where and what is going on and how bad life gets and how difficult. I'm never out of his love, okay? Nothing can separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Nothing. Nothing can pluck me out of his hands. There's not anything Satan can throw at me that can dislodge me from the grip of God, Father God, okay? Nothing. And this year, in the midst of anything you experience really difficult, know that your God is for you. He's not against you. And he is able to do incredibly more than we could ever ask or imagine. According to the power that is at work within us. You know who's in us? He is. Right? We can have sweet, intimate communion. Even if they take my house and stick me with needles and lay me up, they'll never take Jesus away from me. He's always with me. He's always going to get me through. And even if he doesn't get me through in this life, on this earth, I know where I'm going, okay? He paid the price for my complete deliverance. This is the beauty of this passage, is I'm doing something new. Listen, he did something new when he sent Christ. No more sacrifices, no more slaughtering animals. He sent Christ, that's something new. He poured out his spirit on the church. That was something new. Never did that before. Guess what? Because of those two things, the offering of his son and the pouring out of his spirit, we are sealed until the day of redemption. There's even a greater future than seeing his deliverance here on planet Earth. It's seeing deliverance from this decaying world and being caught up into heaven, okay, and ever present in his glory. And friends, we don't live for this world, do we? We're just aliens passing through, okay? We need to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who is taking us forward no matter what the trial. And so, you know, here's what I say to Satan. Bring it on. My God is a big God. And the more you throw at me, the more glory he gets, because he's going to do incredible stuff. And I'm just going to testify and say, you know what, Satan? Remember when you did that? You gave me this sickness. You took away this. It's just an opportunity for my God to shine. Okay? That's all it is. There's nothing you can do to discourage me. No. You guys need to hold me to that, and I'm going to hold you to that too. Okay? That's a pretty big, bold statement. Because there are times of discouragement. But listen, we need to say, if you're discouraged, courage, literally, the word comes from the word heart. Your heart's in the wrong place. Okay? If you're discouraged, you're looking at the wrong thing. What is it? I think Joyce Meyer says, right? I say this. Stop telling how God, your God, how big your problems are. Stop telling your problems how big God is, right? That we need to get to that place this year. And I encourage us, friends, let's be people of the Word this year. Let's get in the Word. Let's believe it. It's. I don't know what's worse, not reading it or not believing when you do read it. Because he says, you read it, it's like looking in the mirror, and then you forget what you read, and you go and you experience doubt and double-mindedness. Yeah. That's not what we're about. We're about single-mindedness. I know my God. Yeah. He knows me. I'm his. And he's able to do anything because he loves me. Okay? That's the message. Amen. There it is. Write those down. Put them on your fridge, your mirror, your dash, wherever you need to remember them, because you're going to come back to these. And if you don't know what they are, read Psalm or Isaiah 43 over and over again. Get it in your spirit. Friends, it's going to be an interesting year, but we're in this together, somebody says, right? We will overcome because we're overcomers in Christ. Amen. So let's hang our hat on those truths. Does anybody want to comment? I always allow time for response if you... Wendy?
Can I share this word?
Yes, come on up.
Hope you have 5 more minutes of attention left in you. I want to share this word, and just to say that I did send it out to a sister to get confirmation, and I'm just going to read the word. I'm not going to go into all the scriptures. Maybe the pastors can send it out to the church and so that you can really read it and get into the scriptures around it. And this is a word for those of us who are followers of Jesus. This is a word for the Church of Jesus Christ. Okay? And it starts off with the Lord saying, rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Okay? And the Lord has been saying, it's time. Mm-hmm. It's time to make the King and his kingdom first priority. Jesus wants a holy, intimate relationship between him and us. It's time to engage in the battle. The Lord said the time of preparation is over. It's time to engage in the battle. And starting about the beginning of December, I was having these recurrent dreams. And in the dreams, there was a table. And on the table was a book that I knew was a Bible and a sword. And after having these dreams multiple times, one night I had a dream, the same dream, but on the table was also a shovel. And so when in asking the Lord about that, he said what he was saying to us, the church, is to use the sword I have given you, the word of God. It's time to use the sword and to go deeper in the word, to read it, meditate on it, study it, memorize it, and put it into practice. In Luke 22:36, Jesus says, but now whoever has a money belt is to take it along, likewise also a bag, and whoever has no sword is to sell his cloak and buy one. Okay. The Lord is also saying it's time to put into practice everything you have learned, received, heard, and seen. He's been training us and equipping us, and now it's time to be doers of the word. Hey, it's time to overcome. These are instructions from the Lord, and they're balanced with the joy and a desire to overcome and what happens when we do overcome. So the Lord said, it's time to overcome discontentment, distraction, deception, and discouragement with truth, with discernment, wisdom, with the sound mind I have given you, the mind of Christ, with prayer and praise and thanksgiving, with obedience, unity, humility, and contentment. And when if you read through Revelation 2 and 3, it's very encouraging because Jesus says over and over, to him who overcomes, I will give. And he goes through, he says, I will give to eat from the tree of life. Those who overcome will not be hurt by the second death. I will give him a white stone, and on the stone a new name which is written, which no one knows except him who receives it. I will give him power over the nations and the morning star. And he goes on, you can read it. And the last is that the Lord had showed me was it's time to balance the love of God with the fear of God. It takes both. And without both, we end up unbalanced, right? There's a perversion of grace and there's error which results, and we don't have a proper perspective of God, mm-hmm. right? And so the fear of God needs to come into the church, okay? And this error that's moved into the church is causing the preaching of another gospel, and it needs to be corrected by the awesome fear of the Lord, okay? And his holiness and righteousness. There's become a confusion in the church about what loving one another really means, and the errors that are resulting from that need to be corrected too. And I was praising the Lord because we have a pastor who preaches the truth, the word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ with no compromise, right? And just the last thing I wrote, I pray that God will give us a greater and greater revelation of his love, that we may be rooted and established in it. And I pray that we will grow in the true fear of the Lord, serving him and walking in obedience to his ways. And the word just ends with, do everything with joy.